Precious, we'll give you one, just a brief outline. It's actually a completed one with the 4 points that I'm going to cover. Obviously, everything that is not here, but it gives you the bullet points that you can look at, and they can be a guide to you. There's a space for you to make some notes. I think it's important to do that. Now, I'm not a preacher who, I'm more of a teacher, so I don't hum. Well, I do hum, but I hum a song, you know. So I don't tune up. I'm not quarreling with anybody who does. So that's not my point in saying this. God called me to be a pastor and a teacher. I know that. And so my goal and aim every time that I get up to share is to share something and explain some things so that we can understand, so that there would be a... you can't really do what you don't really completely understand, you know. So you can, you know, if you got a phone, you can't really use the phone if you don't know how to, if you don't understand it, you know. Now, there's degrees of, or levels of understanding, so there's some things that you might understand very well, and there's other features and things that you may not. But the bottom line is, if you're going to use the phone, you got to know how to turn it on, and you got to know how to do certain features. Amen? Amen. So, but most instruments that we have can do much more than what we are aware of them doing. And sometimes you get someone that will show you something, and it's like, man, I didn't know that, you know. But there are things that we do know, and so you want to do what you know. And so my goal is to always just try to share things, explain some things to us so that we can all know and understand. Or if you already know, just it's a refresher. I don't want to be so bold as to suggest that many people that are here don't know some things. I know that many times what I'm doing is just kind of challenging people or reminding people some things. And there's some things that are new to people. And within the context of the message, then certainly there are things that there's revelation that may come forth that you didn't know, or that brings enlightenment to that you already know. So that's the goal. So we don't look to have a dull, boring time, but we want it to be a learning time. So many people in the church, all over the United States as well as other countries, sometimes I think it may be even more so here. We have more opportunities to hear the gospel, and then it seems like sometimes we know less than a lot of people around the world, and we certainly are not sometimes as good at practicing the truth of God's word like sometimes some other people may be. And so we want to be people that know the truth of the word and that practices. So we're going to look at James chapter 1, verse 17. You can put the title slide up there. And it's called Recognizing the Goodness of God. Recognizing the goodness of God. James chapter 1, verse 17. Put the title slide. Every good gift, I'm reading from the New King James translation. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. With whom there is no variation, King James Version says variableness, or shadow of turning. So we have used this one verse here for the topic of recognizing the goodness of God. Recognizing the goodness of God. And here, James, the writer, says that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. So the blessings that you and I experience in our lives, they have come from above. They've come from God. There is a source. Now, I know a lot of people think, well, things just happen. Well, that's just coincidental. And that's not really the case. Now, God is a sovereign God. He's the ruler of the universe. And so there's things that he orchestrates. And I would probably venture to say that there's things that he has like on automatic. They just happen. The world, God's not every day saying, okay, world, you spin. Son, you do this, you do that. He's got it on like an automatic where it operates according to a set of laws. And so it happens because God has ordained it to be that way, and he has established a law that will cause it to be that way. So we never have to get up in the morning and wonder, well, okay, it's really dark outside. Where is the sun? No. It's changeless because it operates according to a set of laws that God has, that he has established. And so God is constant, and so there are things that we experience. There's good things that we experience, and there are some bad things that we experience. Now, our point number two here is that God may allow some negative or bad things to occur or to come our way, but he does not cause them. He doesn't cause them. He doesn't cause them. Now, even if I move on, y'all stay with the presentation, so if you can do that. Okay. Now, so, and we read 1 Corinthians chapter 10 last week where it says, no temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. He'll make a way of escape. But the point that we want to keep in mind here, and we want to really be mindful of, is that, I've said this before, so I'll repeat it, that this is one of the most misinterpreted scriptures. I don't want to say, I'll say misunderstood, but it's more of a misinterpreted scripture than many, many others. Because a lot of people will take this same scripture that's in 1 Corinthians 10:13, and will say, well, the Lord won't put no more on me. Well, I know the Bible says the Lord ain't going to put no more on me than I can bear. And so immediately it throws God into a negative context, as if God is the one who brings the bad things in our lives. He is not. He's not the one who does that. You know, now he may allow it, you know, because the devil can't do nothing except God allows it. Now that's a mystery to us because we don't always understand why. And if you're like me, you've asked God, God, why? Why this? Why that? Why did I have to go through that? Why did I have to experience that? But we also understand that the Lord, no matter what we go through, and no matter what the devil brings our way, he will always and can always bring good out of it. He can bring good out of it. Amen? And if you look back over your life, there's times that some things have not been, they haven't been the best, and maybe you struggled, maybe you had a lot of pain, a lot of disappointments, a lot of frustrations, and there are just questions and questions and questions. Well, God is a God of answers, but we got to know that it is not God who brings the evil. Now, if we go to our third point here, I want to move down there so we can get a little further in it. John chapter 10, verse 10, where it says that the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. This is where I wanted to get to today, is for us to understand that that God and the devil have two distinct are two different purposes for operating the lives of people. There's two distinct purposes or different purposes that Jesus has and that the devil has for operating in the life of believers or the life of people, period. And Jesus outlines it right here. He says, the thief, which is another word that's used to refer to Satan or to the devil, the thief comes not. He doesn't come except he has this purpose, to steal, to kill, to destroy. To steal, to kill, and to destroy. So the devil has a purpose. That's why it's important that we are always mindful, according to 1 Peter 5, where it says that we should be sober, we should be careful, because our enemy walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The devil has an intent. He has a purpose. He doesn't want to see any of us have a good life. He wants to destroy the life that we have and to keep us from having a better life. And so there's many things that he does. So Jesus says three things. He says he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So if someone steals from you, that means they take something from you. Right? Yeah, you know. If someone steals, if you've had something stolen, that means someone took something from you without your permission. They didn't just come and you say, okay, you can have this, you can use this, bring it back tomorrow. But when it's, and it's done unaware, you most times you're not even aware of what's happening. You know, when people rob somebody, they rob you to your face. You know, robbery is pretty much what you would call right in your face. They put a gun, they put a knife or whatever, however they threaten you. Now, give it to me. Give me your wallet. Give me all your money. Give me all your jewelry. Give me the keys to your car. That's robbery. That's right in your face. You know what's happening. But when the thief comes to steal, basically, that is behind your back. It's usually unaware. We don't really even know what's happening at that moment. If you've ever had your home broken into or certain things have happened like that, you know, you're not there when it happens. Because if they think you're there, they're not going to do it. They do it when they think you're not there, when you're unaware. And so the devil does these things in our lives. He plants seeds. Sometimes you don't know how bad something is going to be. You don't know how big that thing is going to grow. So there's division that can occur in relationships, and it may start off as something real small where there's maybe just a slight offense where maybe somebody is disappointed with something or they got offended over something. But if you don't deal with that thing, if you don't deal with it while it's small, it's going to get bigger. And then something else will happen. That's why insensitivity on our part is such a horrible thing. You can never, or we should never be insensitive to the feelings of other people. You may not always understand them, but we should never be insensitive. Because if we're insensitive, that means we're not going to even try to understand. We're not going to even try to relate. And there are times when we deal with people where we have to be people that, even though we don't understand, we want to understand, but even if we don't understand, we want to say, okay, just let me put myself in their shoes. You know, I'll use this word, but it's not the word that I really mean. It's the only one I can think of right now. Sometimes you just got to humor people. You know, and not where you're making fun of them, but you got to kind of back down where you're not trying to be right. You know, all of us want to be right. Nobody wants to be wrong. But there's times when you just need to say, okay, all right. Not with an attitude, not sarcastically, But like you have genuine empathy for that person and what they're dealing with. Well, you say, okay, you know, maybe I was mistaken. If that's the case, I'm sorry. I apologize. And you still may not even understand. And you may go away scratching your head. Now, how in the world did Larry get that out of what I said? You know, you might not mean it, but you got to put yourself where the other person is. Jesus said it like this. He said that we have to agree with our adversary quickly while we're with him on the way. There's sometimes, you know, just stop the dumb stuff, stop fussing, stop arguing, stop trying to be right, stop trying to prove your point, and say, okay, maybe I just made a mistake, maybe I missed it. I thought this, but obviously that's not what it was, so I'm sorry. Pride causes us not to do that. Pride causes us to be one who is unwilling to not only apologize, but who's unwilling to really just put ourselves in the place of someone else. And if you're right, you might know you're right, but you don't have to flaunt it. Did you get what I just said? Okay, you're right. And so you can just be right in your own heart. You know it, okay. But you want to strive for win-win situations in everything you're involved in. If you, with relationships, marriages, with parents, children, siblings, friends, co-workers, you want to just, church members, you want to strive for a win-win. It's not where I win at your cost. Yes, see, I proved them wrong. See, I told you I was right all along. Now, all you did was stroke your ego, but what did you do for the relationship and what did that do for the team? Nothing. You're right, and you're happy about that, but you're destroying the team. And you don't care. Because you want to be right. It takes a man, woman, boy, or girl that allows himself to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God to be willing to say, you know what, this is the way I thought it was, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's different. My mother, when she would have these events, things that, she would maybe get an award or that someone was supposed to go to. And so I came to work one time, and I didn't have a suit. And so Mom said, where your suit? You know we got to go to this thing. And I said, Mom, what thing? And she said, well, ABCD, I told you about it. And I knew she hadn't told me. She thought she told me. I knew that. And then I said, well, maybe you did, Mom, but I don't remember. I didn't say, well, no, because, you couldn't have told me because if you had told me, I would have did this and I'd have did, what was the point of that? It was no point. Now, I'm not being arrogant, but I knew she hadn't. She forgot. She thought she told me. And so I saw my brother, and I said, did Mom tell you about it? He said, no, she didn't tell me. So she thought she told both of us. And so what I decided from there, rather than try to just prove myself right, I made up my mind right then. So I went home, ran back to the house, got something to wear, and came back. But then I brought another suit that I had, another pair of shoes, a tie, some cologne, all that stuff, and put it in my closet at work. another shirt. I had a white shirt and another color shirt, depending on what I wanted to wear. And I, in fact, I had two ties. So I said, so the next time something comes up and that I'm supposed to go to, and mom forgot to tell me, or maybe I forgot it, I'm covered. What was the point in arguing? She was convinced she told me. I was convinced she didn't. And so I said, this is what I'll do. And I did that. And I kept a suit, a black suit in my closet up until I think maybe a couple of years ago. I took it out for something else. I lost weight and gained weight. I need to wear that suit. That's what happened. You don't have to always be right. It's great humility in admitting that, you know, I was wrong. This is what I meant, you know. But what am I saying? The devil will use our determination to be right to steal and to destroy a relationship. And destroy your influence in the life of somebody, all because you want to be right. And the thief comes to take from us. And that stealing, you don't know it's happening. It's only later on you, why so-and-so don't want to be around me? Why, every time I try to talk to them, they don't want to even have a conversation. It's because the devil has stolen that relationship. Did you hear what I just said? The devil has stolen that relationship. But God is a restorer. He's a restorer. But sometimes it requires some work on my part. Sometimes it requires some repentance. It requires my humbling myself. It requires me saying, God, you know, I am so sorry. I didn't really know it. I didn't see it. Sometimes I got to go to that person and say, you know what? I'm really sorry. I didn't mean it like this. Whatever you got to do. Sometimes you got to eat about 2 or 3 humble pies. But pride ain't going to let you do it. But if I can humble myself, then God can restore. He's the one who restores that the scripture says, the palmer worm, the canker worm, those destroying insects that destroyed the crop. He says, I will restore to you that was destroyed by them. Those little things that eat at the crop, and sometimes you don't even know it until it's too late. And they've done a job. And so you and I have to be people that are watchful so we can make sure the thief doesn't steal from us. To steal, to kill. That means to destroy the life out of something. He wants to kill your joy, where you have no peace. He wants to rob you of your finances so that no matter how much money you bring home, you still can't make it, because he'll have you making unwise decisions, and then you'll be mad at God because God ain't blessed you. But what he has blessed you. Oh, yeah, I can't get no good amen. Some people, it don't matter how much money they make, they're going to still be in the same boat. It's going to be the same because they don't know, they don't learn to how to manage what they already have. And when you don't do that, then you find yourself in a situation where you end up losing when you could have been gaining. Amen. You know, everything isn't worth fighting about. You know, you gotta pick your fights. Some stuff is just, you just let it go. There's other things, you know, depending on what it is, you know, you got to just stand around, no, this ain't right. I'm not going along with that. There are other things that just a difference of opinion. You want to do it this way, I want to do it that way. And we both have a goal to end up in the same place. Now, if one wants to cut corners and do something illegal, no, we ain't going to do that. But if it's just a different way, you know, you try it. And you say, well, you know, it may work. And I've experienced that in board meetings and things, and not only our board at church, but other places where people, they'll discuss issues, and sometimes in the beginning you got over here and over there. But if people really want to work together for the good of the organization or for the good of the church, what's going to happen is they're going to begin to some kind of way start trying to find some common ground. That doesn't mean that you don't express your true feelings. You know, it doesn't mean that you don't do that. But at the end of the day, if something is not wrong, maybe it's just a different method, you say, okay, well, we can try it. We'll see. We've had board meetings at the church, and where if something, I may put some on the table. This is what I was thinking about doing. And then, so I would meet not with opposition, but with questions. Well, what if you do this? What about this? What about that? You know? Well, you can't. I can't be offended because somebody asked me a question. Well, I'm the pastor. I'm God called me. He ain't called you. Did what God told me to do. And that happens. No. You have advisors, and the multitude of counselors, their safety. With good advice, the Bible says you make war. So you have advisors. That you know, they're there because of their knowledge and their wisdom and their experience and their sense of expertise. And so you're foolish not to listen to them. So if I talk with our church board, I talk with Andy's board, I mean, I have to hear everybody out. And then once that happens, then it's been very rare. Sometimes where we didn't end up doing something, following some course. Sometimes I reverse course. I said, well, you know what? Y'all got a point. Maybe I shouldn't do it like that. And there's been other times they'll say, well, you know, I have questions, but, you know, if you want to do it, well, I'll support you on it. So then what you're doing, you're forging ahead with a plan, with an idea, and there's no opposition, and everybody is in the whole thing together, and everybody is determined we're going to make this thing work. We're at least going to see if it's going to work. But if everybody wants to be right, you'll destroy relationships. And you can end up destroying your own life because you end up missing out on the wisdom of people. I wouldn't want to be surrounded with people that I'm smarter than. Think about that. Now, I'm not dumb. But I don't want to be the one that's just the smartest, so to speak. And when I say the smartest, you know, there's different things there. But what I'm saying is I want to be surrounded by people that I respect. I respect their knowledge. I respect their wisdom. And they may know more about some things than what I know about it. And so when it comes to this, they're smarter than me, and I need to be able just to sit back and listen to their wisdom, listen to their knowledge. There's nobody that's really successful with what they want to do if they want to prove that they're smart. You know, that's not the case. Amen. And then he says destroy. Kill, to steal, kill, and destroy. To destroy means to perish. So Satan wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy me. And that's the only reason he shows up. And so when you begin to feel tension and division or something, you got to realize, okay, the devil is in there somewhere. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're wrong, but it means you need to open your eyes. That's what it means. Okay, let me open my eyes. Let me see what's happening. What's going on here? What's the real deal here? You know? Because he's showing up so that he can steal, he can kill, and he can destroy. Proverbs tells us, says, only by pride comes contention. Only by pride comes contention. I don't have that scripture for you right now, but I can have it for next week. But only by pride comes contention. Arguments. Fights. It's pride. And then, of course, you can throw in fear there. Sometimes people are afraid of certain things, and so they refuse to cooperate because maybe their weaknesses are going to be showed up. Amen. So, why are people's lives destroyed? Well, there are several reasons. I know I won't finish this today, but I want to say this part. First of all, people's lives are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6 says, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. That means they don't have information. That means there's things they don't know. That means ignorance means to have a lack of knowledge. It means to not know. I know sometimes we use that term in such a derogatory way, and it can be used that way, but basically ignorance means that you don't know. There's a lack of knowledge. There's a lack of information in that area. And so, and when you have a lack of knowledge, then he says, my people are destroyed. They're destroyed. And that word destroyed there is a Hebrew word, dama. And it means to be silent. It means to be dumb. And dumb in the sense, not of where your intelligence is affected, but it means where you're unable to speak. And so it means that you're put in a position where you're silent and you're not able to respond adequately to what that situation is. And because of that, then you end up being destroyed. You know, you end up being in a situation where you are, you perish. There's no no prosperity. It means that you can fail. So my people are destroyed. My people fail. My people perish. My people are destroyed. My people are now silent. They're dumb. They can't respond. They don't know how to deal with the situation because of a lack of knowledge. Now all of us find ourselves in situations where we don't know what to do. We don't have the answers. But that's where communicating with the Lord comes in. He says, in all our ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. So that means that we have to go to the source of knowledge so that he can let us know what to do in that situation where now I'm dumb, I'm silent, I'm failing, I'm about to perish because I don't know what to do. God has a remedy. God has an answer. You know, in any situation that's failing, God has a remedy for it. You got to go to him. God can mend any relationship. God can turn around any situation. But it's knowledge. People end up dying with diseases because of a lack of knowledge. And it's not always a lack of knowledge on that person's part. Sometimes it is a lack of knowledge because they didn't know that what they were doing, certain things that was really harming their body. So they didn't know. It's that lack of knowledge that killed them. And in other cases, they did everything right, and then it's the doctor's lack of knowledge. Medical science has not caught up with their situation yet. And so the knowledge that's needed to cure that particular condition is not known yet. It's not known. And so you get to a point and the doctor says, well, you know, my experience has taught me, the history that I've had is that with this kind of conditions, it's about 6 months left. And then folk get mad. Well, you can't put no date on me. No. And that's fear and that's anger all rising up. No, they can't put a date on you. All they're telling you is that based upon what has happened with other people that have the same condition, they live about 6 months or 3 months or less. And so they're sharing the information that they have. And that information may be flawed in some ways, but it's all they have. This makes sense to anybody? It's all they have. You don't ever get mad at the doctor because they tell you what your situation is. Oh, that doctor's so negative. You want him to lie to you? Oh, yeah. Oh, don't even worry about it. I mean, you're going to be fine knowing that you're going to be dead in 10 days. I mean, which one would you want? At least if you know, I'm not saying it's good news, but at least if you know, the Bible does say the truth will set you free, you know. At least if you know, okay, well, I need to try to make plans. I need to do this. I need to do that. And so you can't fault the doctor because they're telling you just what they know. I would much rather. Now, maybe you're different. Well, you know, it was bad. I don't want to know it. No, I want to know. I went to my doctor one time. Once I was dealing with some things, and so the test came back. It wasn't really good results. And so I said to the doctor in the office, I said, Doc, I said, tell it to me straight. I said, I'm okay. I said, if this is something I need to prepare for, I want to know. He said, no. He said, no. He said, that's not what it is. He said, A, B, C, D. This is a whole different type thing. But what was I telling him? Give me the straight facts. If I got to prepare for the end of my life, let me know. I got stuff I got to take care of. So if I got to do this, do that, just let me know. He said, no, Mr. Lee, no. He said, no, that's not it. He said, no, this test is not good. He said, but, you know, it's because of this, or probably because of that. He said, but there's nothing to worry about. Now, you may be different. You may not want to know. I want to know. Because the truth brings a certain amount of liberation. Not saying it's not painful to begin with, but it brings a certain amount of liberation. And it takes the guessing out of things. Now, I know this is tough. This is a tough conversation to have. I realize that, so I'm not trying to suggest that this is an easy thing, but I'm saying that you want to know the truth. And then, in my case, in your case, if we know the Lord, you know, if we truly believe what the Bible says, that to be absent from this body is to be present with Him. That's not a bad thing. You say, I know it's not, but not now. Yeah, I get it. I feel you. You know, I get it. You know, but what I'm saying is that you just prepare yourself. You know, we want to live in a readiness. As believers, we want to be prepared to live and prepared to die. Both. Simultaneously. Have your bags packed to be ready to go. But you can still go and cook a meal for everybody to eat. So you're ready for now, and you're ready for tomorrow. Amen. So the devil will destroy us, because of a lack of knowledge, because of our ignorance of certain things. You know, Paul, on a couple of occasions, you'll find him saying, "My brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant or without knowledge concerning this." He said, because concerning spiritual gifts, concerning people that die. You know, I got to stop. I forgot. My time's got away. We got communion to do. Sorry about that. We'll pick up with this next week or the next time, you know, because of the whole lack of knowledge is what destroys us, and we will we're going to explore this just a little bit further. Give God a praise offering if you would. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Bless God. Thank you, Jesus. Just lift your hands in His presence for just a moment. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you're a good God.